Thank you for taking the time to visit us online. We would love to meet you in person, so here's some information just for you. Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m., and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m., and this is all happening at 6310 Lyons Road, Garland, Texas. We hope that you enjoy this message by Pastor Troy DeFeo. Have a great day.
Father God, that's our prayer, is that your word will speak loudly to each and every single one of us here today. Lord, I pray that, God, that the words that we hear are not my words, but it's been your words all along that have been preparing hearts to be here today. We thank you that, God, that you are with us. We thank you that, God, that you are in our presence. And we just ask that, God, that as each one of us come with our own personal testimony, our own personal life, I pray that, Lord, that you would speak personally to each one of us. We'd open up our hearts. We'd open up our ears. We pray that, God, that that we can just be quiet and still and know that you are God in our lives. Father God, I know that there are people here that at times are struggling, whether it's through health or through personal issues. And I just ask that, God, that today we be reminded of your new mercies. We love you, Lord, and we just give you this service today. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, it's good to see you guys, and thank you so much for being here. I am actually beginning a brand new series today. A brand new series to start off the 2017 entitled New Mercies I See. Each week, I want to bring forth a new type of mercy. I want to bring forth a new type of grace. I want to bring forth a new way of looking at your relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're anything like me, as you look back at the past of 2016 and other past years before that, you're always hoping that the new year, that the next year, will even be better than the one before. Hopefully, it's my prayer that my life will be more impactful, that my life will make more of a difference, that my life would feel more blessings, that I could be a blessing to maybe to more people in my life. Many people I know that as a new year, and we talked about in our Sunday school class, that for New Year's resolutions, just as a quick little poll, how many of you guys made New Year's resolutions? Anybody? A couple people, two or three people made New Year's resolutions. Many of you guys, and the poll stands pretty true right here, many people do not make New Year's resolutions for a lot of different reasons, mainly because sometimes they don't seem like they work out too well for people. I want to break it down in a simple definition of what a resolution is. It's simply this. It's the decision to do something or to not do something. And there are actually people out there that are researching, and that research every single year the statistics about resolutions. My first thing I want to think about is how you get a job to be able to research about New Year's resolutions, because I would like to have that job. If all you had to do was just go around and asking people, hey, did you make New Year's resolutions? Did you not make New Year's resolutions? What were they? Did they work out? That would be a kind of an interesting job to have. These people actually researched this, and after the first week, and many of you guys can probably testify to this, after the first week, 75% will keep their New Year's resolution, 75%. That's still passing in school-wise. After 2 weeks, it drops down to 71%. That's still passing in school-wise. Okay? After the first month, the reason why many of you guys in here do not make resolutions is because you know they're going to drop down to around 64% of completing those. And after 6 months, those down, it's down to 47%. What happened? Well, there's a million different reasons those researchers have come up with, because they're all personal for each and every single one of us, why we make them and why we don't. But here's what they did find out. People that make New Year's resolutions, okay, people that make decisions to do something or to not do something to accomplish their goal is 10 times more likely to accomplish those goals. 10 times more likely. Even with the statistics that I gave you. So for those that do not make any decision to do something or to not do something, it's something to think about in each one of our own personal lives. I personally, in our Sunday school class, we got together last week and we did some today where we made some resolutions in our life. And one of them for me personally is that I would just like to do one good thing for somebody every single day. Another resolution is that I would like to exercise 2 times a week. For 30 minutes each time, I'd like to exercise. For me, that's a big deal. Am I going to attain that goal? I gave myself until tonight to accomplish the second part of that, okay? I was reminded that this starts the new week, but mine starts on Mondays. It doesn't start on Sundays, okay? And the next one is that I would like, as I began this brand new year, and as I began to start thinking about what I wanted to preach on, it was this. I want to be able to see God's new mercy in my life. What does that look like to me? Maybe what would that look like to you personally in your own life? For me personally, I want to be able to see a new kind of Jesus. I want to have a stronger relationship with Him. I want to see Him in a way that I've never seen before in my walk with Him. Maybe in your walk with Him, maybe in 2016 or before that, it's looked one way to you. Maybe it's been great. Maybe there's been blessings overflowing. Maybe God's been using you in mighty ways. Maybe God has shown you, is teaching you, is doing all these wonderful things. But I believe without a doubt, as we get into His Word, as God speaks, I believe He can show us and teach us and put new mercies in our life that we've never seen before. But I think we need to make a decision. Lord, I want to be able to see Your new mercies. I want to make myself available. I want to be used by You in a way that You've never, ever have done before in my life. So spiritually speaking, I need to be in His Word. We just sang about it. I need to be in His Word. That's my challenge for each and every single one of us. It's a tough one, I know, for many of us, because the every single day of life and getting up and families and work and all those different things, and maybe you don't have a phone that has an app with a Bible on it, and maybe you don't have a Bible because you can't find it and you don't know where it's at, the last place you put it. Whatever it may be for you personally, I would like to ask that you would go and find you a Bible and challenge yourself, even if it's just 3 minutes a day. 3 minutes a day to get into His Word. My challenge for you is to be open to see where and what He wants to teach you in your day. I believe we all go through lessons and He's teaching something every day. I think that we also need to look to see how we can make ourselves available for His will and not for our own will. And as I said before, I think that we need to at times, as times like this, at times in our prayer life, we're so busy talking, we're so busy doing things, we're so busy with whatever, that sometimes it's just best, before we go to bed, to be still and know that He is God. In the good times and in the bad times. So we got to make ourselves available. We got to make ourselves and decide if we want to be able to get in His Word, to be able to see how He can teach us. So speaking of teaching and speaking of His Word, I'd like for you to turn with me to Lamentations. Lamentations, it's in the Old Testament. It's right after Jeremiah, and it's before Ezekiel. For some of us, it's in the clean section of our Bible. But I hope that you would get out a pen or a pencil, maybe there's one in front of you, where you will highlight this verse. And if you don't have anything to write with, I ask that you'd go back tonight as you spend time, as you meditate, maybe just for those 3 minutes, that you'd go back and just reread these words and see if God does not find a new mercy in your life after you read these. Lamentations 3, 22 through 24. If you don't have your Bibles, it'll be put up here. It says this, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed." I could speak another sermon just on that one verse. "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him." And as I began to look to see, what did I want to start off this new year? What did I want to start off this new year to be able to talk with us about? It's this. I saw something in this devotional with a guy by the name of Paul David Tripp. He's a Christian author that wrote these words, and it reminded me of where I needed to be. He said here is the bottom line. The Christian life, the church, our faith are not about us. They're about Him, about His plan, about His kingdom, about His glory. See, oftentimes in the Christian life, when we think about our own personal life, and when we look at life all each and every day, we look at it, and a lot of times people's walk with the Lord, it appears to look real. It appears to be sincere. And most of, I believe it in our relationship, if you're a Christian, it really is genuine. It's real. It's sincere. But there are also times where I feel like maybe sometimes we could also just be going through the motions of life and in this pretend world of having this relationship with God, where it's really not making an impact. We're playing the church. We're playing the role. We say, yeah, we do this. We say, yeah, we do that. In our world, when we look at it, it may not be as real and sincere as what these scriptures are really actually saying. And how many of you guys, I don't know if you were home on New Year's Eve, how many of you guys were watching the ball drop and you saw Mariah Carey, the infamous, the diva herself? I mean, this lady, I mean, she can sing. There's no doubt about it. She can sing. The only problem is, if you watch this, she was lip syncing through the whole thing. Through her song, she was lip syncing. She looked genuine. She looked sincere. She looked real. As a matter of fact, I was like, it's really, really good. And then all of a sudden, she's not moving her lips, but the words were going on. I mean, it was phenomenal. I was like, how does she do that? So now I'm thinking, what is it called when you have the little puppet thing and you're able, yes, you know what I'm talking about. You guys saw the same thing. Yes, I was thinking she would be amazing at that. She should try out, you know, for America's Most Talented, because that was amazing. And sometimes life can be like that in the Christian world. Sometimes we're just lip syncing through life. Instead of just being sincere and being real of where we are, sometimes we play these roles. Yeah, I go to church. Yes, I do this. Yes, I'm a Christian. But sometimes we just get to the point where some in our day, we forget about God's new mercy and we just kind of lip sync through life at the workplace, maybe in our families, maybe even here in the church. Maybe when we look down in our sincereness of our walk with the Lord, we say, you know what, Lord, I'm just giving you a lot of lip. I'm just giving you a lot of lip. I'm not really being sincere with where really I am. And if I call myself a Christian, I must wake up each morning with the realization that my life is meaningless without the Lord. Ecclesiastes 3, when we're talking about change and we're talking about this newness of life, King Solomon, Ecclesiastes 3, when you were talking about change, he said, this was a king that had everything that you could ever want. And as he's trying to figure out all about life, if he's trying to figure out where he was, where he's no longer just lip syncing through life as a king, as a ruler, being able to have everything that he wants, this is what he came up with. Meaningless, meaningless, life is meaningless. These are his words, King Solomon's. It goes on to talk about that we are just chasing the wind outside of knowing Jesus personally in our life. For you personally, are you been chasing the wind? Have we been lip syncing through life as a Christian? Do you at times in your life, do you feel like life is meaningless? When I became a Christian back in 1989, my 11th grade year, the very first verse I've ever memorized in my life that these people told me, it said, Troy, make sure that you know this verse. It wasn't, for God so loved the world. It wasn't the John 3:16. It was this one. And I shared a little bit last week. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if, there's a very important word right there. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, and the old has gone and the new has come. You know what that IF word is? It's a resolution. It's a decision. If. As a matter of fact, it's just not a decision. It's the ultimate decision. It's the greatest decision. If. And you could go on to that next word, if anyone, well, not me, because the way that I've been living my life in 2016 and 2015 and what I did back in, you know, 1990 and whatever, and kind of where I am right now and what I've been doing, probably not me. And Paul goes on to say that, therefore, if anyone, yeah, that means you, that means all of us, every single one of us is included in this. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He's a new gift. I want to say that again. You are a new creation. You are a brand new gift from God. A new gift. You're God's gift. You're not just somebody. You're everything to Him. Everything to Him. With His new mercies, guess what? There's also new hope. With His new mercy, there's also a new heart. With His new mercies, there's a renewing of your mind. With His new mercies, there's a new relationship with a living God. All the other people, all the other religions out there that are all dead, worshiping false idols, hoping that they will arrive, hopefully they can do enough good works to earn salvation, they're all worshiping dead stuff. You have a new gift. You are a new gift, having access if you are in Christ. The old way of thinking, your old sins, your old relationships that maybe have gone sour, maybe that you haven't forgiven, maybe you haven't been forgiven. The old way of doing things that you became mundane in your everyday life, or maybe right now you say, I'm in a place right now that just kind of blah right now spiritually, Lord. Let me just be frank with you, Lord. Let me just be honest with you where I'm at, Father. Me getting into the Word right now, me praying to you, me serving with you, me doing anything right now, I'm just kind of in a weird spot right now, Lord. He says, get rid of that old way of thinking. He said, the old has passed away. Even when you're a believer, the old can pass away. Those things can become dead. Sometimes spiritually we can become dead. I believe there's times in David's life that he felt that way. That he was in a times of despair. He's just like, man, I've been doing this, I've been doing that. And then he messes up and then he's all of a sudden writing some of the most amazing, encouraging. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a steadfast spirit in me. Don't cast me from your presence. Renew a steadfast spirit in me. Renew me, Lord. Renew me. We're all going to be at times in our life where we're going to go through the shadows of death and we're going to walk through those valleys, but that's exactly where He wants us. It's through the valley. See, God's today new mercies, He says that, what? They have come. If you are in Christ. this brand new birth, this new start in your life, this new outlook on unconditional love, this new grace gift that you just found when you woke up this morning, this new mercy. The first time when you look and you look at that cross, when you come in here and you look at the cross and you look to see, I cannot believe that one actually suffered on a cross and went through all of that just for me. I don't want to come in here and just sit. I want to come in here and I want to start worshiping the one that gave his life for me. That's a new mercy. That's a new way of living. That's a new way of looking at him to say, you know, I'm motivated now because there's no one else that's ever died for me, that gave up everything for me so that I can have these new mercies in my life. You're a brand new creation. The old is gone and the brand new has come. I want to remind us there's so much freedom flowing from this verse. You do not have to look around too long at the world, on TV, social media, in this church, at yourself personally, where the world is just missing this altogether. See, most of us live for the red. Most of us live for the red. I need my personal assistant. She's been hired a little longer. Actually, you've been here. Would you mind doing this up for me? Will you stretch that all the way out there for me? Thank you, Kelly. And she's doing a great job. Yeah. If you want to hand it off to Philip. Awesome. Philip, keep unwinding a little bit, just so I can get a little more slack here. It's all the way out, right? You want to take it as far as it can go, all the way to that door? You won't be able to see this, but that's good right there. That's good. That's good. You can just drop it. See, most of us live for the red. This is a long string, a long rope that I went and got. And I started looking, I started thinking about where we are in life. And most of you guys, you can't see the end of this, but Philip can. He knows we're at the end. Well, let Philip play Jesus. Why not? He's got a different perspective than you guys do. See, for most of us, we just see this part right here? This is your life, the red part. We work so hard for this red part. We wake up, we go to school, we go to work, and we move through life. And then as this past week, I think on Thursday or Friday, my Edward Jones guy, he called me. He said, hey, Troy, I need to talk to you about a few things about your retirement. I laughed. All right, what do you want to talk about? Because I already knew this illustration in my head because I'd been working on this. And so I laughed a little bit. You mean you want to talk to me about this little spot right here? Is that what you want to talk to me about? This spot? It's about right here. I'm almost dead there. That's the part you want to talk to me about? I get King Solomon, what he's talking about. I get this guy Paul Tripp when he starts off this devotional. I get the prophet Jeremiah as he's talking through Lamentations right here. I think I'm understanding where maybe all three of them are coming from, because if I look back at verse 22, it says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They never run out. The song says, on and on and on. I know, I'm terrible. It goes on and on and on. It goes. His love never runs out. What about Troy when I have not spoken to God in months, maybe weeks? I don't pray to him unless I got problems in my life or I'm struggling with issues in my life. Then I'm running towards him. I'm asking for that clean heart, oh God. What about Troy when I've been out of church for weeks? It's too cold. There's snow outside for Pete's sakes. It's too rainy. I'm too tired. I'm too whatever. Fill in the blank. What about Troy when I signed that my way is the best way and I'm scared that God is going to make me sign this contract that says I'm sending you to Africa, get rid of everything. What about Troy when I know in my heart I've given my life to God, I do care about him. It's just, I just don't really want him to change much in my life. Because if he changes things in my life, then that means I got to make a decision. And it's easier for me not to decide some things. It's easier for me not to do certain things. I just want to be able to be left alone. Yes, I believe in him. Yes, I love him. Yes, I want to go to heaven. But it's easier for me just to trust myself. What about Troy when I know my heart? I just can't seem to forgive myself. I can't seem to forgive people. I can't seem to get forgiven for the things that I've done in my past. What about Troy when I'm getting to the point, I'm just tired of serving the Lord? The money that I make, I need to look for this last part right here to get me through. I'm going to hold back a little bit. The church doesn't need it. They got other people that will step up. Heck, I mean, the 20-80 rule, 20% is not bad. 80% of the people, what if we switched it? What if we switched? And 80% was giving, and 80% was serving, and 80% was coming, and 80% was, could you imagine what this world would look like if all the churches were doing this? Ever go to God and just say, I just need a break from you? Maybe not with your words, I know. Or feel that, Lord, maybe I'm just empty without you. I'm empty. Verse 22 says this, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. Did you hear that last part? All these things that we just asked those questions and maybe feeling. How can God say this? How can God say, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail? Even when I feel all these different ways, even when I do all these things, how can he continue to say his compassions, his love never fails? See, he knew at the moment that life for his children would never be the same without verse 22. You hear that? He knew at the very moment when Adam and Eve sinned, when we all fell short of the glory of God, that we needed verse 22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. So his new mercy showed up in the likeness of a man who was a holy one of God. And he laid on that cross for you and for me. That's a new mercy I hope that you found today. Oh, he didn't go on the cross to manipulate you. Many people feel that way in church. Sometimes, or maybe get the wrong perspective, maybe in a different place of our life spiritually. Many people feel like maybe he manipulated. He did this out of manipulation so that way that we'll serve him, or we'll give that money, or that we'll give that control over to him. Jesus Christ did not come to manipulate you. He came to serve you and save those that were lost. He came to be able to come and die for you so that you would be able to experience a new mercy every day, so that you would experience abundant living, experience joy and blessings, that you would understand from the perspective of this, that there is a long white rope, and that this is not your goal. This is your goal. I press on to the goal to win the prize in which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's our goal. That's our goal, not the red. See, God is the creator of all new things. You hear that? He's the creator of all new things. He was the creator of the universe. He was the creator of the human race. And he's the creator of a new creation, his new gift. He's the creator of you. He's the creator of this new mercy in your life. He sees from a different perspective. Verse 23 says, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Let's read that again. They are new every morning. So every day you wake up, it's a gift waiting for you. A new mercy, a new lesson, a new decision, a new life, a new creation, a new way of looking at how the Lord is going to use you. A new way of saying, hey, your perspective of what you're living for right now, it's just there. Where should it be? Oh, yeah, it should be way, way, way down there. That's eternal life all down here. Every single morning throughout work, my two kids, trade changes all the time. My two kids, though, make us coffee. Sometimes Pierce makes it, sometimes Cameron makes it. Faithfully. Every single day. I get in my car, I start taking them to school, and I'm sitting in there and I am sipping on a new batch of coffee that made for me. It's always tasting different too. Sometimes a little bit of more sugar, maybe a little bit more cream, sometimes lots of cream. The good stuff. Sometimes it's a full cup. Sometimes it's half of a cup. But it looks different and it tastes different. It's a new batch every single day. But one thing I love is the fact that it was made for me out of love. And that's how I picture His faithfulness. Every day, your new day is made for you out of what? Love. It's a new batch. It's a new batch. So when you wake up and you begin to start sipping on your coffee, it's a new batch of His grace today for you. I'm wrapping it up here. Verse 24 says, and I say to myself, Jeremiah, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him. Paul Tripp, the devotional writer, writes this nugget of truth, says this, remember, God's mercies do not come in just one color. No, they come in every shade of every color of the rainbow of His grace. God's mercies are not the sound of one instrument. Instead, they sound the note of every instrument. God's mercies can be general or specific or predictable or unpredictable, and they can bring comfort, healing, and even bring about new celebrations. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion. He's just enough. He's just what I need every single day. When I'm looking for everything in life out there, I come to this point and say, the Lord is enough. He's my portion. He's my new batch. He's my new grace. He's my new mercy. He's always faithful. I like to read about people, and especially with, as Sal mentioned, there's a lot of meat behind the hymns. There's a reason why he shared some hymns. There's a lot of meat behind the hymns, and here's the reason why. Because there's a lot of meat in the life of people that lived ordinary lives, but had extraordinary lives at the same time, because they lived not for the red, but they lived for the white. And I like to read about ordinary people, because I'm an ordinary guy that lives an ordinary life, that's just trying to make it every day, that just wants to just do the best he can in life, that is still a sinner saved by grace, that doesn't understand all these scriptures, that doesn't have it all together. I'm just a guy just trying to make it. And so I found a guy that I hope I can also be like. His name is Thomas Chisholm. And he was born in 1866 in a log cabin in Kentucky. And he too became a Christian. And he was 27 years old. And he entered the ministry. And he was excited when he was 36 years old. Only problem is that he started getting sick. His poor health, his sickness, made him retire after 1 year in the ministry. 1 year. But during the rest of his life, while he lived in New Jersey, he worked as a life insurance agent, of all things. And every day he would go into the mundane of work. Every day he would sit at his office. Every day he would do his job. Every day he would see and look for his new mercies. And while he was there doing his work, he ended up writing 1,200 poems, including some popular hymns. And during his time as a life insurance agent, he didn't do very well. He realized that it was tough times. He knew that he needed to depend on the Lord every day for something. But God was always faithful. God always provided for him, and God always, always showed him a new mercy in his life. Thomas Chisholm said this, "Just think, with each new day, God gives us a chance to prove his faithfulness. And throughout history, he's never once been proven wrong. For his mercies are new every morning, no matter what. His portion is just enough. Therefore," in verse 24, it says, "I will wait on him. Therefore, I will wait on him." Thomas Chisholm in 1925 wrote the famous hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And I hope this morning that you will find his faithfulness, his portion, his mercy throughout this series. Let's pray. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. We thank you, Father, for that. We thank you, Lord, that you are loyal to us. We thank you, God, that you are a God that we can trust, that you are a God that we can count on. We thank you that you have the perspective from the world's point of view as being human. And we thank you that, Lord, that you have the white portion where you see from the eternal. If there's anyone that understands that, it's you. Understanding the red and understanding the white of our life. And I pray that, God, for us to have more understanding of that, that we seek after the one that only has both perspectives. No one else on this world, no one ever has ever lived like you've lived. No one has ever experienced what you've experienced. No one has ever come to die for us on the cross. And so it is our prayer today that we may find your mercies, your portion. For God, you are faithful. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.